Good morning. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting, April 17th. Secretary, please call the roll.
Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Ballard?
Here.
Director Garza?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Yes, hello.
Thank you. Is there any public comment? There is no public comments. Okay. First item of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on March 20th. There are any comments about that? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number five, Executive Director.
Do we have public comments?
I said no.
Okay, do they fill out?
Oh.
I think they're...
Are they? Marlene, here we are. We did not.
You know what? I did not receive the card, but we have public comments. Can we do it right now?
Okay, we can do it now. It's fine.
Sorry about that.
Okay, we have two individuals we'd like to get public comment today, and I'll start with the Honorable Larry Bullock.
I'm getting a new one next month. So. I had to be here today, I'm getting a new gift. Good morning, Madam Chairlady and Mr. Chairman and members of the Tollway Authority Board. I'm Larry Bullock, Chairman of Suburban Minority Contractors Association, founder. Once again, I'm delighted to be here with you at the ungodly hour. But I'm here this morning to give brief comment concerning the Tollway Small Business Initiative in support of it. I've spoken to staff about this, and I've read their basic fact sheet. And just a couple of things I'd like to say about it. In my opinion, and the opinion of Suburban Minority Contractors and the Chatham Business Association and our strategic alliance, this is the furtherance of the Tollway Unbundling Initiative that we participated in several months ago and gave testimony to two or three informational sessions that were conducted here at Tollway. I think that this Small Business Set-Aside Initiative has some salient points that I wish the City of Chicago had included as well, especially when it comes to size. With the $10 million gross revenue, that is attractive to us because it gives us a greater opportunity to participate on a level playing field. I said to Jamie Ray, who's a dear friend of the City of Chicago Percy, the standards that they're presently using are the SBA standards, and quite frankly, it's too high. It still gives 800-pound gorillas an opportunity to participate. This standard here will reduce that greatly and will give us an opportunity for many of our members to participate in the Small Business Set-Aside Initiative. So that's one of the positives there. The other thing that I'm excited about is that staff took the time to search the database with the IDOT prequal. That has always been a major issue for us as an association, trying to get our members to bid on IDOT work, because the threshold of prequal has been a major barrier of us getting our members prequaled by IDOT. So the fact that we have identified at least 42 firms, hopefully working with Gustavo and the staff here, we can encourage more of our members to bid on this smaller set-aside initiative. So I don't want to belabor the point other than to say that Suburban Minority Contractors does stand in support of this initiative and would look forward to working with you on it as we have worked with you in the past on the unbundling, and it is obviously a logical segue from your unbundling, particularly since I note in the proposal you're looking at shoulder work, not main work in the throughfare out in the middle of traffic, but stuff that's out of the right-of-way, which is what we've always pushed for at the tollway, that you try to unbundle shoulders and works that's not really in the main throughfare. So thank you so much. I'll be glad to entertain any questions if you have.
Any questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good luck with your day.
We also have public comment from Omar and I...
Duque.
Okay.
So far, my head's just fine. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My name is Omar Duque, and I'm the President and CEO of the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And I am here on behalf of our board and on behalf of our membership to express our support for the Tollway's efforts and specifically for the Tollway's Small Business Enterprise Initiative. I know that my colleague, Jorge Perez, who is the executive director of HACIA, the Hispanic American Construction Industry Association, was hoping to be here but has not been able to. I believe that he's going to be submitting a letter of support. Jorge and I have had a couple of conversations on this initiative, and I can tell you that that we are both very excited about the Tollway's efforts. We have been working with the Tollway, with IDOT, with any governmental agency across the state of Illinois for many years, talking about what we need to do to increase participation from minority-owned firms and also from small businesses, because that's always a challenge. And the challenge is always, how do we get more small businesses to bid on work, to participate on work? Our belief is that this initiative will really help spur that. My colleague Larry talked a little bit about the frustration of competing against some of the largest players in this space. And by unbundling some of these contracts and by doing a small business set-aside program, we firmly believe that you will begin to see, maybe not immediately, but as this really develops, you'll begin to see more small businesses, more DBE firms bidding on opportunities here at the Tollway. And we know that that is just going to be good for business, because it's going to increase competition. It's going to bring new players into the area. It is going to help build the pipeline of businesses in Illinois that have the capacity to do this kind of work. And it'll be slow, right? I mean, it's steps, but the goal, as I understand it, is to get more small businesses into this arena, to get more small businesses able to compete, and understanding what that means for communities across Illinois. When you have a small business, the impact that participating in projects, in public sector infrastructure projects like this, the impact that that can have in a community is great in terms of jobs, in terms of economic impact in communities, where those businesses are located, where those employees are located, the impact on everything, on education, on communities, on economic stability and economic mobility is fantastic. And you have our commitment to work with you, with the Tollway, to ensure that that the message gets out, to ensure that, that businesses see this as a real opportunity, to ensure that businesses are responding and are responding to some of these opportunities, because this is exciting for Illinois. It's exciting for small businesses in Illinois, and we're here to express our full support. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Kristen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you both for being here and for helping us put the initiative together, but also for your nice comments today. You know, as with all of these things, and we'll see a presentation on it shortly and maybe have some more discussion. But, you know, these are always a work in progress when you first start these types of initiatives, but we're excited about launching it, so thank you. I wanted to give you a heads up that there will likely be an item on the board's full agenda that we don't have here today. You may remember several months ago, we approved a CMS master contract for purchase of some additional vehicles, particularly for our state patrol unit. As it happens, apparently the order cutoff date was changed without maybe the clearest communication that it was going to be changed for some agencies and local entities in the state. So we were unable to order off that CMS master, and we have pursued our own contracts so that we can get those pursuit vehicles If John has anything else to add, we just weren't quite ready to get it on the committee's agenda, but we would like to move forward so we can hit an order date. These aren't, you know, they do take some time once you put an order in for a quantity of vehicles for it to be fulfilled. So do you have anything else you want to add?
I think you pretty much captured everything. You know, we they changed it. Chevy changed the cutoff date on those pursuit vehicles, and our fleet manager contacted the dealer to see if there's anything that they can do to produce a 76 or assemble them, but they couldn't because they'd have to source all their parts, and that would take months and months. So we already had a solicitation on the street for purchase of pursuit vehicles, all-wheel drive vehicles. We just amended it and added these vehicles onto that. So we're in final negotiations with the low bidder right now, and we should have all that information by next.
So we're hopeful that we have it by the board meeting, but wanted to let you know that that would be a slight difference in the agenda, but hoping to move forward on that.
It's basically the same.
And we'll also, you know, give you a sense of the pricing too. We think we're going to get very favorable pricing, even, you know, relative to the master contract with the state. So we're excited about that. And hopeful, I should say, rather than excited. We won't be excited until we actually get
prepared. Right. Can't get that excited.
So that's just one item that I wanted to make you aware of. Now I'd actually like to introduce the first presentation that we're going to give. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. The first presentation that we're going to see today is another kind of heads-up presentation that we wanted to provide some advance notice on, and also, of course, any discussion. We have been working diligently over the past year, as you know, to diversify and expand the opportunities that are available, particularly in construction. As you remember, last year we really did an analysis for the Move Illinois program and saw that for professional services, we have a variety and a broad range of kind of contract sizes available, including unbundled or smaller contract opportunities. But it was really on the construction side where, you know, we wanted to make sure that we had that same kind of spectrum of opportunities. We've done, I think, some great work of unbundling contracts. With your leadership, we've, I think, done more, or with after this board meeting, assuming that the contracts at this meeting are approved ultimately this month, we will have done more unbundled and approved more unbundled contracts so far in 2013 than we did in all of 2012. So, you know, some good progress made. But there are some times when, you know, you need to do larger contracts. So I wanted Paul in engineering to put together a little presentation on a couple of larger contracts that you guys, that you can expect to see coming, you know, again, are a little even larger than our typical contract size. But we think that because of, you know, to deliver the projects quickly and efficiently, and also for the safety of our customers and drivers, it's important that these projects are kept whole. So, Paul, if you want to go ahead and jump in.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors. So as Christy mentioned, I wanted to give you an overview and a brief heads up on, you know, some larger type construction contracts that will be going out for advertisement later this year. You know that engineering and diversity are working very closely together right now to look for small contract opportunities and unbundled contracts, as Christy mentioned. And really that challenge has been given to all the tollway designers to look for those pieces that can be broken out and can be advertised independently and can be attractive to smaller businesses to do work for us. There still is occasion where it makes sense to put the work into a larger package. Ideally, under our program, we'd like to keep the contracts in the $50 million range. We know that produces a lot of bidders for us. That creates a lot of competition. We feel good about the bids we're getting. But sometimes we have to go above that threshold, and this presentation is going to give you some background about how the designers go about making that decision or recommendation to the tollway, and here are some of the things that we consider. So it does involve trying to strike a balance between our motorist needs and customer safety, and also the safety of the construction workers themselves, and still meet the tollway's goals of delivering this project and this improvement on time and on budget. First and foremost, as I said, you know, we have to look at ways that support safe travel and construction. We also have to factor in the tollway's goal. As I mentioned, we want to produce a range of contract sizes. We want to create opportunities for a lot of different firms to get involved with our Move Illinois work. And, you know, we have been doing that throughout this
second year of the Move Illinois program. It really starts with looking at the unique characteristics of any individual project and the site that's involved. And in the CRP, there were occasions where we did have to put out larger contract sizes. And a couple of examples are the Des Plaines River Valley Bridge, which we built on the South Extension. That, in escalated dollars, would have been about $161 million in today's dollars. That was a contract that, you know, we put out as one bid. Also, some of the plazas that we converted to open road tolling, they were in the $64 million range. So individually, that would have been a very large contract. But because of the complexity of that plaza work and the number of maintenance of traffic stages involved, and the fact that, you know, we wanted one person to be accountable for the whole thing to make it easy for us to get things changed and react to situations as they were occurring in the field. Those are some examples of just where it made a lot of sense to just go ahead and package it as one contract. But the thing to look at, you know, when we are putting these larger contracts together is we still want to guarantee that there's going to be competition out there. And also I want to point out that even if we do have a large contract, it still goes through the same process that we go through right now, even on a small contracts with diversity, where we coordinate what the goal is going to be, and there would still, you know, be similar goals on these larger contracts. But one of the ones we're looking at and that we're planning to advertise as one large contract is our I-90 bridge work that we have over the Fox River. The structure was originally built in 1957. It's a 19-span structure. We want to start reconstruction in 2014 and finish it up in 2016. This job is going to be advertised probably in August of this year. There are a lot of features of this project which lend itself to us considering it to be one single construction package. And probably the most significant is this bridge, the width of it, doesn't really allow us to do the beam erection and take down the existing structure at the same time and still keep the number of lanes open that... Yes?
No, you should have
kept
finishing.
Okay. That we want to.
I just wanted to point out that for whatever reason, I think we had an old file, maybe, the presentation. So if you want to watch, I think what's on your screen is likely the more up-to-date one, so we apologize for that. It shouldn't be very different, but
they're pretty similar. I noticed that on this one, it's at 130 million there. It's really going to be between 100 and 150 million.
Yeah. So again, you on your personal screens have the right one.
We heard last week too about this environmentally sensitive area that exists at the Fox River. Of course, the river plus this forested fen. It's, you know, one of two in the state that's protected in this manner. It really restricts the workspace, and to have multiple contractors working out of the same area at the same time would be overly complicated and probably not be, it won't be efficient and it won't be cost effective. So even though that Fox River job is going to be in this $100 million to $150 million range, we still think there's going to be five or six bidders on this. And we have had some contact by other bidders who are considering doing some work with us that maybe haven't done work with us before. One of them would be Flatiron has reached out to us, and they would like to come in and meet with us and learn more about our program. You know, in addition to the normal firms that we have working with us right now who have this super unlimited capacity from the Department of Transportation. The second location where we're looking at doing a larger type contract, and actually will be probably two larger type contracts, is on the Elgin O'Hare West Access Project. We have a system interchange that we're going to build between the existing Elgin O'Hare and I-290. This is at right at where Thorndale intersects 290 right now. This is a complicated work area. All these, it's live. It has live traffic on it. Unlike our 294-57 project, where we're kind of building an interchange in an open field and there isn't any live traffic to maintain, the level of complexity at this 290 Elgin O'Hare interchange is going to be definitely ratcheted up. We have a lot of mainline reconstruction to do, bridges, large flyover ramps, plus local street realignments. It's carrying a lot of traffic today. About 103,000 cars are going through there every day. There are multiple bridges and ramps that we have to build here. Limited space for construction staging. We're also using a lot of this space within this interchange for detention purposes or stormwater management purposes, which is even going to restrict the space even further. So having, you know, too many contractors working at this one particular location will not be cost effective or in the best interest of the motoring public. Should I just keep going?
Yeah. We could just put the other one up there. It's not that different, is it?
No, it's not. It can't be.
So you want the other one back up?
Yeah, that's
fine. If it's significantly different, I don't want people online to be confused, but, you know, it gives them something to see. Otherwise, there's... But let's not... I don't want to hold things up either, so...
Okay.
So as I mentioned, these larger contracts are most likely going to be advertised, you know, either later this year or in 2014. We do recognize that there are some benefits, especially at these two locations. One of them would be the reduced motorist impact and improved safety for our motorists and also our construction workers. It's going to streamline the maintenance of traffic, which we know is going to shorten the delivery schedule. There will be some improved efficiency. As I mentioned, you know, if you're doing a very complex project or working in a complex area, it's helpful to have a single point of responsibility and contact for that. So if things need to get adjusted, they can be done quickly. We know that it'll involve less startup and shutdown, you know, having a single contractor. We pay him once for the mobilization, and then, you know, they'll be able to continue working. And we know it leads to some innovation on some of these contracts, because by giving one contractor the access to the full site, they'll be able to figure out better ways to deliver the project and reduce overall costs and speed the schedule. So that's basically what we're recommending for these two locations. And these are really the only two right now that are going above that $50 million threshold that we ultimately try to target our projects for. And it definitely makes sense in these two locations to proceed in this manner. And as I mentioned, you know, that doesn't mean that there won't be some goals set on this contract. There will be DBE goals. And also these contracts could be evaluated for the new small business initiative, because there are going to be individual elements of the work that can be done by those two groups. So in summary, we recognize that some complex projects require larger and fewer construction contracts. We want to do our work as smart and safe and cost-effective as we can do it. We want you also to know that we recognize that we have a commitment to develop opportunities for small and minority businesses, and that's going to keep going, and we're going to continue to unbundle contracts in this program. And we are carefully evaluating the contract packaging during the design phase to make these good decisions, you know, on what jobs should be broken out and what jobs should be combined with other work. So I think Gustavo's going to introduce the Small Business Initiative, and as I mentioned, you know, we are going to be coordinating closely with him on that too.
Paul, of the 15 contracts that are awarded this year, what's the total dollar value of those contracts versus the 14 contracts that are awarded all of 2012 dollar value?
We can get you that. I don't have it right now. Okay. I know that, you know, they were in the $0 to $5 million range.
Okay.
But I don't know the exact dollar amount.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious.
Yeah. Were there other questions?
I have a question. Can you describe the process by which internally you decide what's a big contract and how when you unbundle?
We're really relying on the designer to do this initial evaluation for us. We talked to all the designers. They this is what they're hired to do for us. Look at these projects, figure out what's the logical way to break them up. They look at what's the maintenance of traffic going to be,
how can the work be staged so that, you know, one contractor isn't adjacent to another contractor who's going to be competing for the same space or the same number of lanes. They also look at, you know, and consider the size, which is, you know, directly related to how much competition we're going to get. So they know the general direction we've given to all of them is, you know, stay in that $50 million range or less, because we know we get a lot of bidders and we get good competition on those. And then also consider our unbundling commitments. So look for those smaller opportunities within the larger scheme of work that needs to be done. But the designers are looking at, you know, large pieces of the project. They might be designing a 4-mile section of the mainline roadway. We know, and we're kind of following the things that we had success with in the CRP. We try to package our work so that it happens in one construction season. And you see that happening on I-90 right now, where we broke down that 30-mile section between the Elgin Toll Plaza and the Cherry Valley Interchange into eastbound and westbound contracts. It's further divided into 6 different sections, which are kind of based on construction access points for the individual contractors. We can't give them a job that they can't get to efficiently, or their trucks can't get on and off easily at the beginning and end of their construction work zones. So those are some of the elements.
So the designer says this should be a big contract. They come to you and you say yes? Or is there something that happens internally?
So the designer, so for the Fox River Bridge, they identified early on that the maintenance of traffic, and we put a lot of restrictions on when you can close lanes. So they knew right away they were going to have trouble erecting the beams for the structure, because we only allow 2-lane closures in the overnight hours. So they were having a difficult time trying to figure out how to actually stage it so that they could build it, so that we wouldn't have a big impact on the motoring public. And they started saying, you know, well, if we can, you know, guarantee the contractor that he has the ability to work on both structures at the same time, it's probably going to be a lot more efficient and more cost effective. So they actually documented that. We use a form as part of our ISO processes that it's called the staff summary sheet, where it kind of grows from the designer level, goes through our project manager, goes through the executive level in engineering, and then we also engage the executive director and finance and other departments if they're directly impacted by it. And that's what we've done.
The staff summary sheet outlines, you know, here are the things that we looked at. So here's, you know, alternative one would have these pros and cons, and you know, might have this positive or negative about it, maybe cost more, maybe cost less, what have you. Maintenance of traffic issues, whatever, goes through all of the different options evaluated, and then it gives the recommendation of the option. And so all of those departments ultimately sign off on.
That's what I really wanted to know.
On it.
Oh, okay.
There is an internal process with checks and balances, so it isn't just the designer says to you, Paul, we need to do it this way, and you say, right.
Yeah, no. The staff summary sheet is very logical, purpose, background, the alternatives that were evaluated, the funding, how it's going to be funded, and then lastly the recommendation and what they think is the best way to go about doing it. And especially it's for the larger type decisions that are being made, and especially if there's going to be a change in the scope, schedule, or budget of the Move Illinois program, we document all those big decisions with staff summary sheets to engage a wider group of individuals.
Do you have a procedure or a policy that governs this, or is this just has been the way it's always been done? I don't know that there has to be. I'm just curious.
I'm not sure if there's a written procedure. I think that there's a written procedure.
There is a written procedure. Yep.
Because you have to have that in order to have the ISO certification.
Yeah, we get it.
Procedures written.
We have ISO certification within engineering. It has documented all of our processes, and we get audited on it on a regular basis. And I think we have to actually go for renew our certification on a either biannual or triannual basis.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
I've got several different questions here. One, these larger contracts, basically the goals are going to, what are the goals going to be then? The same for the minority participation? And if they are, they're going to increase, basically the dollar amount, the dollar value is going to increase with these larger contracts. So I wonder what those goals are going to be in these large contracts for the minority small business participation. And then also, these are the super capacity firms that are getting this work. I guess is also with the smaller firms and the joint ventures and the subs that they're bringing on, I know we have to put the onus on the contractor to make sure they have capacity to do this work also. And I want to know, are there any systems in place internally to monitor the capacity of these subs and these smaller firms too to do this work?
Your first question, the goals on all of engineering contracts are developed by the diversity unit, and they analyze each project on an individual basis. So they will make, we provide the types of work being performed and the amounts of work being performed in those individual categories to diversity, and diversity will apply the criteria of availability and willingness to do this work, and in general, that's how the goal is determined. I mean, we know that our goal has averaged on construction contracts, is it like 17 to 20%?
19s, low 20s.
Yeah, so that's what I would expect, okay. And that's most likely what's going to happen on these.
And then again, if we do advance the small business program, there might be small business goals.
On top,
or yes. As well.
Yeah, because we also know, too, that in general, the prime contractors, we do require them to do at least 35% of the work. So that means that 65% of the work could be sublet to others to do. It'll vary how much they will do themselves depending on what that particular company's strengths or weaknesses are. I think in general they are doing about subbing out, you know, they are performing at minimum the 35% and probably up to 60 or 65% themselves. What was your second question? I forgot.
Capacity of the subs.
Capacity of the subs. I mean, we know we are relying on the prime contractors pretty heavily to make sure that the work is going to get done. We have not experienced any issues yet with subcontractor capacity. That will be something that, you know, we will continue to monitor as the work gets rolled out. You know, I think the Move Illinois program, the way it was structured to begin with, where we tried to not exceed what we had done previously in the CRP program and what we knew worked with our annual dollar value, I think that also serves as a kind of safeguard against, you know, maybe dumping too much work on the contracting community. I think the contracting community itself is going to grow and adjust, especially as we get some of our the small business initiative going, and we are unbundling, so we're spreading out work to more and different firms. I think that also is going to serve as a safeguard of against overloading any particular subs.
Do you anticipate with these larger contracts, firms from outside the state, more firms coming in to bid on the project?
Yeah, I did mention that one, and so that is possible. But I think, you know, even with the larger firms, the labor is going to be done by Illinois people for the most part. The materials are going to be coming from close by, and the equipment rentals and all that, that's how they generally operate. So I will know there will be significant, you know, local involvement in these projects, even if a larger type firm does happen to be the successful, low and responsible and responsive bidder.
Good here. Good. Thank you. Any questions?
So the timing you said is later this year.
Definitely on that Fox River, I know it's August. Around August is when we're thinking that job's going to come out. The Elgin O'Hare one, I'll have to check that. I don't know if I know the exact advertisement date yet, but it's coming soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. So, thank you, Paul. And not that wasn't the most anticipated presentation of the day, but we've had quite a build-up now to the small business initiative. So, as I think I mentioned, we're extremely excited to share our plans on this. We've been talking about it for some time, and I think the board has always given us clear direction that they want to see more diversity, broadly defined, in the businesses and pool of businesses that we work with on the Move Illinois program and in every part of our operation. So we think this small business initiative, which won't be something that's defined by necessarily race or gender or, you know, the same types of things that the DBE, MBE, WBE certifications sometimes are, you know, will give us an opportunity to, again, broaden the pool of companies that can actively participate in and compete for the work at the tollway, and really contribute to the pipeline that we're all trying to build of firms being able to grow and ultimately compete for larger size contracts. So Gustavo has worked closely with both engineering and with legal. We'd like to thank both David Goldberg and Paul, in addition, of course, to Gustavo's team, for all of their hard work on this, and we're very anxious to get your feedback on what you think, and hopefully we can advance this so we can begin to get it out in this year's construction season. And of course, I think there'll be opportunities for tweaking it, you know, as we begin to see what the impact of it is. So, Gustavo.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
And thank you for your attention this morning. So, today, we are recommending approval of a new small business initiative. The Small Business Initiative is part of our agency's ongoing effort to ensure that small businesses have an opportunity to participate in the Move Illinois program. It's our goal to put small businesses in a position to grow and succeed as prime contractors. By becoming prime, we are helping create not only a growth pipeline, but also we're creating a more competitive bidding environment. This new initiative includes a two-part approach. Both are race and gender neutral. First, the engineering and diversity departments, along with our law department, will have worked together to identify construction contracts that will be set aside specifically for small businesses prime contractors. Second, the initiative will establish a process for setting small business goals and construction contracts. We'll get into more detail on this in just a bit. To qualify for participation in the Small Business Initiative, we're proposing the following requirements for businesses. This initiative will target small business with annual gross revenues of $10 million or less. Generally, firms will be required to be an IDAS list of pre-qualified bidders. However, there may be cases and instances where this will be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Finally, all firms will be required to be registered with the state Small Business Set-Aside Program. This registration will enable us to confirm that the size of business, as well as confirm that the firm is not an affiliate company of a large established contractor. This will help ensure that we are truly targeting small contractors. Registration for the state Small Business Set-Aside Program is coordinated through the state procurement officer. It is relatively simple registration and can be completed within 1 or 2 weeks. It is worth mentioning that we continue working closely with the CPO's office to ensure a smooth integration of our initiative. The first part of the Small Business Initiative that I outlined was our plan to identify contracts that will be set aside specifically for firms that meet the initiative's criteria. The initiative will build on the tollway's current efforts to increase opportunities for small businesses to participate on tollway projects as prime contractors. The tollway already has been working to unbundle larger contracts into smaller jobs, as well as actively defining small contracts opportunities in amounts of under $5 million. In 2012, 14 unbundled contracts were awarded and 15 contracts under $5 million have been awarded as of March 2013. For the Small Business Initiative, we will select construction contracts, generally with values of approximately $1 million, to be identified and awarded specifically to small businesses. We believe that this range will provide the best opportunity for small firms to bid and successfully deliver our projects. The engineering and diversity departments will work together to identify these contracts moving forward. The second part of this initiative will establish small business goals for select construction contracts on an ongoing basis, just as it currently does for disadvantaged businesses enterprises, which includes certified minority and women-owned businesses. We will set the small business goals on a project-by-project basis. There will be no value limit on the contracts that we will consider for small business goals. So how do we envision this to roll out? As I previously mentioned, engineering and diversity will be working closely to review all upcoming construction contracts set to advertise for bids to decide what is our best approach on each contract. We will decide for each of these contracts if it will be a set aside as a small business contract, or if we will apply the standard FDV goal approach, or if a small business goal only is more appropriate, or yet, if a combination of both DBE and small business goals will be the right approach. However, in the case of bids with two requirements, firms will not be counted for both small business and DBE goals. As mentioned, we will begin letting contracts in May that will include small business set-aside contracts and include new small business goals. In addition, we will launch a coordinated outreach program to promote the Small Business Initiative and assist firms that want to participate. We believe that this new initiative will provide a great boost for small firms looking for a chance to grow and succeed in construction. Thank you for the time, and open for questions now. Thanks.
So one thing that I think we want to make clear is after this discussion and if there are any changes made, I think that the CPO for the state, correct, has to approve having a small business goal setting program. There have been some preliminary conversations. I believe we have no reason to believe that that will be any issue, but we wanted to take it to them after our board, you know, was comfortable with advancing it. So that was something that I wanted everybody to be aware of.
I have a question. You said that there may be some contracts where they're both a DBE and a small business, but that those goals would be counted separately.
Correct.
Could companies apply for both?
Well, let me see if I can address the question. Let me see if I understand the question. You're asking if a small DBE firm could also be eligible for small status. Yes, it can be. What we will not be doing is if a contractor comes back with a DBE goal where one of the DBEs is also happens to be a small business and wants to double count that for the small business goal, we're not allowing
that.
They have
to choose one or two.
They have to choose either using them as a DBE or as the small business. But yes, if the firm meets the size standard that is set by state statute and enforced by the CPO's office, that's one of the reasons we're asking them to be certified by the CPO's office, so we have assurances that they're indeed small businesses. If they meet the size standard, then they will definitely be eligible for that status as well.
Okay. So, and then the second question is, if one company has the capacity to bid on and execute on both the percentage of small business and the percentage of the CBE, could they do both?
No, they would not be double counted.
Well, I guess I'm not asking this right. When I think of double counted, I think, well, you say you're going to do 10% for small and 10% for DBE. But if you get one company that fits both, you can reduce the percentage overall. But I guess
Right, so the question is if it's 10% DBE, let's say it's a $100 million contract, so 10% DBE, 10% small business, so in theory that's $20 million worth of work. If you had a company that was both a DBE and a small business, and for whatever reason, I don't know how this would be possible, but they could do
a million.